Hey, everybody. This is Dominic D'Angelo of AdFreeShows.com, and today's date is September 15th, 2022. And I am happy to have with me here a Patriots rival for me, Mr. Eddie Edwards. Eddie, thanks for joining me today, brother.
No, thank you for having me. I appreciate the time.
Yeah. So you're on Victory Road coming up here this Friday on September 23rd, but you have that big match coming up at Bound for Glory against the world heavyweight champ, Impact World Heavyweight Champion Josh Alexander. Talk about just kind of getting, you're a two-time Impact World Champ, so kind of getting this opportunity again to go for the big title on such a big stage that Bound for Glory is for Impact. Talk about your feelings going into that and how you feel about Josh Alexander.
Yeah, you know, like you said, Bound for Glory is the biggest show of the year for us. And to be able to be, you know, in the main event of the biggest show with the Impact World title at stake, you know, it's a pretty big a show of respect from the company and a pretty big accomplishment, I feel, for me. You know, and with everything I'm doing right now with Honor No More and the kind of change that I've gone through, you know, characteristically wise and persona wise, to be able to do it now, it's like it was a new challenge to get this done again, you know, as the heel, as the bad guy going into it, representing Honor No More, where, you know, the first time I won the world title, I was the X Division, you know, baby face, you know, good guy at that point. And then, you know, I went through another change, you know, with stuff with Sami Callihan and changed up my style and persona again a little bit. And I was able to win the title for the second time. And now, again, I've gone through a little bit of transformation and, you know, I'm representing Honor No More and I have a chance for the third time to win the world title at the biggest stage for us. It's a pretty cool thing. It's a special moment. And I appreciate, you know, the special opportunity that it is for me to get that shot once again. And against Josh Alexander, as you said, you know, this is a match that I've wanted to happen for a long time. You know, Josh, I respect everything Josh has done. You know, he scratched and clawed and fought his way to get to Impact Wrestling, just to get there, you know, let alone become the world champion. But he put in the time. He was, you know, broken neck, all the injuries. I mean, everybody knows we're always injured all the time. But, you know, Josh will never let you know when he's beat up or he's injured, because he goes out there and he delivers them. And the matches he's been having as the Impact World Champion, they've been amazing. And he is a great world champion, a great representative of Impact Wrestling. But, you know, unfortunately, this dream's going to come crashing to an end and turn to a nightmare very quickly at Bound for Glory. But honestly, it is a match that I've wanted for a long time. Me and Josh have never faced off in a singles match anywhere, inside Impact or outside. So a first time match at Bound for Glory with the world title at stake, I couldn't ask for anything more.
Well, I think what's pretty neat too is, like you mentioned it, is like this big character change for you and, you know, you being Impact for so long as a babyface and then adjusting into a heel. Talk about kind of making that adjustment. Was there some challenges for you doing that? Or did you kind of find yourself flourishing, like getting into that role of being, hey, I'm this one of the top heels now. And so how was your thought process behind that?
I mean, I'm having a blast doing it. I'm having a lot of fun. And it's, you know, similar to, you know, the last time persona type change that I went through with the Sammy stuff, where it's stepping outside of my comfort zone and trying something new creatively. And that's what challenges me. And to be able to do it again with Honor No More and completely flip the script, where before, you know, I'm trying to get the crowd to chant Eddie, 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 and now they're chanting Eddie sucks. And that's, you know, there's a sense of accomplishment there.
Sure.
But I mean, I'm having a blast doing it. You know, of course it takes time to really find the flow and find that momentum. But I feel like I've really landed in that sweet spot right now where, you know, it takes a little bit of time, whether it's in the ring or, you know, backstage and promos and stuff. But I feel myself and Honor No More as a whole that we're really hitting our stride at the perfect time.
Has there been like a certain, have you taken anything outside of wrestling to kind of implement into your like heelish persona in certain ways? Like, has there been like pop culture things or something you've seen on TV to be like, oh, I'm going to take note of that. That's a kind of a good thing to do. And certain things like that. Is there anything that stands out to you?
You know, there's nothing in particular that stands out, but with the wrestling mentality, that's basically how we go through, well, how myself, how I go through my day, whether I'm watching TV or watching a movie, or, you know, there's a certain line that somebody says, and I say, oh, I want to steal that. You know, I recently stole a line from Mission Impossible, you know, that just randomly, you know what I mean? Like, that's kind of how it goes. And, you know, I've gone back and, you know, of course, we're always studying and watching wrestling, much like you, I'm sure. Yeah. You know, so I go back and I'm watching, you know, Eddie Guerrero and HBK back in the day, and, you know, trying to, and Kurt Angle, another one that I'm really watching, to kind of pick up on things that maybe, you know, I'm not thinking of, but it, whether or not it's something specific I do or take from them, or if it just helps open up that creative flow and kind of get the juices going.
Absolutely. And like, I think what's been neat too, is you talked about this too, is your transition from like your style of wrestling. You went to more of the hardcore and things like that when you went up against Sami Callihan and things. What was there a certain motivation behind doing that? Did you kind of find like you wanted to just broaden your horizons a little bit more? Was it more so to adapt to like more of a brawler style to kind of protect from like injury or anything like that? Or where did a lot of that come from?
You know, most of the stuff with Sammy, I mean, of course, the baseball bat incident, you know, getting hit in the face with a baseball bat. It was really the situation where it's like, you've been handed lemons, let's make lemonade. And it was kind of, you know, it was kind of the right time to do it. It would have been weird, you know, after getting hit in the face with the bat and, you know, being so pissed off at Sammy, for us to go out there and, you know, take an arm bar or grab a hammer lock. You know, it was like, it was something that, and I love that as well, because it was something, again, outside that comfort zone. It was like, now I need to reach deep. And it was more of an emotional story along the way. So, and much like the thing with Honor No More, it just so happened because, you know, Ring of Honor went on hiatus at the time and, you know, shut down or whatever. And that inserted Honor No More into Impact Wrestling. And again, it was just kind of perfect timing where, you know, I was doing my thing, but it was also time like, all right, you know, this is good. I'm enjoying what I'm doing, but where are we going? What can we do? Maybe we can switch it up. And it just kind of, the stars aligned and it all added up pretty nicely together.
Who kind of brought it for, was it your kind of idea to join Honor No More, or did you get, did somebody else suggest it? And then you guys kind of ran with it. How did that come to be? An ad-free show member asked that question.
I think it was more of a group effort. I'd say the idea of me, you know, turning and being heel was always kind of out there at that point, since I had been, you know, myself, the babyface, for so long. So it was like, I wanted to try to do something different. So I had pitched, you know, trying to, you know, go heel and see what we can do. And then the Honor No More stuff happened because of the ROH. So I get that's kind of where the stars aligned at that point. It's like, I want to try something different. Honor No More happens to be coming in now. Let's go with it. And we did.
Yeah. And it is pretty neat that there's that like significant moments throughout your career where you do make the change, like from going from a tag team specialist a lot of ways to going into singles wrestling, and then obviously, yeah, moving into the hardcore and then turning the heel. What did you kind of find the most challenging? Was it like jumping from tag team wrestling to more of a singles role, or what has been the most challenging like transition for you, would you say?
You know, that's tough. Each situation, each scenario had its own challenges, of course. One of the things about me and Davey when we were tagging, where it got to the point where we were both comfortable and we both thought one of the best things about us as a tag team was we could split off at any point and do our own thing. And then we could always go back to teaming, because we were both comfortable on our own, but we were both comfortable as a tag team. So that wasn't too crazy for me, too difficult, because, you know, I'd been doing that on the indies and all that stuff. And then the stuff with Sammy and turning to a brawler, I'd say that was, you know, more of a drastic change than anything, you know, more so than from babyface to heel, you know, going from, you know, straight up wrestler to more of a brawler, you know, hardcore, you know, that stuff was all different, but I was very welcoming to that because, you know, it was different. And now, you know, going to heel, it has its challenges, but, you know, it's a fun learning curve to be, you know, to be on, to be with, because it takes a little bit and, you know, it's trial and error, just so much with anything. You know, you go out there and you're like, well, I thought that would work. It didn't. Yeah. Now try this. Hopefully this works. And oh, maybe it does. And then, you know, you kind of go from there. You go out there and figure out what's going to work. And, you know, I'm lucky that it is with Honor No More, and I have a faction with me, and we get to do it together where, you know, me, Matt Taven, you know, Mike Bennett and Vincent, we're all from New England. We're all New England guys. Me and Mike, we started around the same time. Some of my earliest matches were with Mike Bennett. Matt Taven, I've known his whole career at this point. Vincent, I've known for a very long time. And we're all friends outside of wrestling. So, you know, for a long time, we had talked that it'd be cool if we could work together at some point, and they were working the same company. And everything goes down with ROH, and, you know, chances, you know, open up. And not only are we working the same company, but we're a part of the same group together. And we get to go on this ride together. So it's comforting to have, you know, friends like that around me where we all want the same thing. We all want Honor No More to succeed. We all want each other to succeed. There's no egos, you know, adding PCO and having Maria there. It's a great mix of every style and everything we have. And we all just want to succeed together. Nobody's looking out just for themselves. And that's that plays a big role in Honor No More.
It's been a pretty neat way to stand out as a faction too. It's like, it's a very cool take on like, okay, hey, Ring of Honor is on hiatus for now. Look at what this presents for everybody. And like, people are associated, you know, obviously Taven such a, was a big name in ROH, and the same with all those other guys too. And then you have your history with ROH. I remember seeing you back, I think it was in August of 2010 at the ECW arena, you and Davey tagged together. And so like, you have a long history there too. And you're, I think you're the only Triple Crown champion in ROH and in Impact Wrestling. So from a storyline standpoint, it really makes sense that you're like leading the ship here and going on.
It just kind of like sometimes those stars align somehow, you know, it all met perfectly. And here we are.
Yeah. So I got to ask too. So I met you briefly. It was at Ric Flair's last match. And talk about being there for that event, tagging with Davey again. And just the atmosphere of being there, like Nashville, obviously, you're very familiar with that, considering. So talk about just being there and that whole experience for you.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, anybody who saw it or watched it or saw clips, you know, it was a very special atmosphere, a very special event where, you know, walking around the back, just the amount of people there, the amount of wrestlers, you know, current day, you know, legends, just the amount of people that were there, you could feel it. You know, it's one of those things where you can feel it in the air, like there was a buzz around. And, you know, being able to reopen the show, which was an amazing spot to be in, to go out there and wrestle in front of that great crowd, you know, in Nashville, it was a pretty special moment. You know, wrestlers or myself, I know I can be rather jaded, I feel, over time. You know, we get to meet these guys and these ladies that we've grew up watching and idolized at times. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to wrestle them and become friends with certain guys. And, you know, sometimes it's the specialness of it all is kind of lost on you in big moments at times. But I made sure to go out to the arena, you know, during Flair's entrance. And at that point, it's like, wow, this is something really cool. Like, this is a moment that, you know, I'll remember and I'll keep with me forever, because this is something that's going to go down in history.
Oh, yeah. And I thought it was so neat, too. I remember being back in the back, and like, once the Crockett image logo popped up and you could hear the music kind of, and then the crowd getting set, I was like, this feels like something really special going on. And it was super wild. And so I wanted to ask you this question. So obviously Ric Flair had his last match there. Is there anybody that you would want to have their last match with? If somebody stood out to you or anything like that, that could still be in the cards for you?
Oh, man. You know, I don't know. There's so many guys that, well, I don't want it to be anybody's last match.
Sure.
So
yeah. But
that's the thing.
Yeah.
You know, I'll bring up one match that I wish could have happened that didn't happen, you know, at my time at Impact, and we crossed paths with Kurt Angle. You know, I'd love to have a match with Kurt. I think he's a guy that's on a lot of people's bucket list at this point. But he's somebody that I would love to go out there and have a last match, whether it's the last match of the night or the last match of the year, you know what I mean? But go out there, I'd like to do that with Kurt.
That'd be a great one. That would be a real good one. How would you now, if you were to approach it with Angle, would you try to go more back to your older style, or would you incorporate some brawling tactics to it too? Or would it just kind of depend on more of the story for you?
Yeah, I think it's definitely more of the story, but you know, much like with Josh, you know, at Bound for Glory, I feel that, you know, my career, everything I've gone through, whether, you know, persona, image changes, or where I was wrestling at the time, everything I've gone through is kind of built to this moment. So to me, it's like I have all of these weapons that I can kind of pull out at any point. You know, maybe it's, maybe it would be a little bit of chain wrestling, maybe it turns to high flying, maybe it goes to, it turns to a brawl, maybe it goes to strong style, you know what I mean? Like, I feel that that's something I try to take pride in, where I can kind of work any style if I need to. And the good thing about that is that I know I could pull it out at times when it's called for it. And that all depends on the story.
Absolutely. Yes. I want to ask too, you were trained by Killer Kowalski. What do you feel a lot of modern wrestlers today can learn could learn from somebody like him? And also, what was something significant that you learned from him?
I mean, you know, Walter Killer, he was such a vicious heel. I mean, if you see any of his stuff back in the day, you know, against Bruno or whoever you see him wrestle, you know, he was a heel's heel. And, you know, that's something that I try to portray, try to carry on with me now, is, you know, kind of turn up the intensity and just be vicious when you have to be vicious. And I think, you know, Walter was ahead of his time as far as that. But you look at the guys that, you know, had trained under him, like, a Triple H, another great heel. You know, I think he kind of instilled it, whether it was psychology and the way to work the match and just the way you go about it, and also how you handle yourself in the ring and just the presence you have in there.
Yes. Oh, man. Yeah, he is somebody that stands out. I remember even just being a kid and knowing who Killer Kowalski was.
Yeah.
Like, it's so surreal, too, to know that there's still that connection that lines up with everybody in the history of wrestling. And, like, it's neat to see that you're kind of still – you're in the mix of everything and you're wrestling a lot of other, like, newer, younger talent. And so that legacy is going to carry on in a lot of ways. It's pretty awesome.
The Killer Kowalski family tree is what I like to call it.
It's like the coaching tree in the NFL.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. So I'll let you go with a few of these. Since you're a Boston man, I wanted to ask you, obviously, a lot of people are going to say Tom Brady, but I want to see who is your favorite Patriot of all time, if you had to choose. Is it Brady?
Well, I mean, it's tough to go against Brady, you know, just because of everything he did for the Patriots. So I think he's like the universal number one, basically. He has to be. But, you know, aside from the number one, you know, you look at a guy like a Teddy Bruschi, the way he went about playing the game and the way, you know, he was gritty and he was grimy and he just got the job done. He wasn't the biggest, he wasn't fast, he wasn't the strongest, but he was an amazing linebacker. So that's something, you know, that I can relate to. I'm not the biggest, not the strongest, not the fastest, but I'm going to go out there and I'm going to handle my business. So guys like that, especially in Boston, which, you know, it's people around Boston, you know, those working class towns and cities, you know, New York or Pittsburgh, we all have that respect for the guys who all go out there and just get dirty and just play the game the right way. So Teddy Bruschi is one that I really love.
That's a great one. Teddy Bruschi is awesome. Yeah, him and who else did I like a lot? I liked Troy Brown a lot in a lot of ways, because he was just a scrappy dude too that really flew under the radar for a lot of people. But he was like one of the guys that kind of set the tone for Tom Brady too.
And he also did whatever the team needed him to do. Want to play cornerback? He'll play cornerback. Don't you worry.
Absolutely. How do you think that your Patriots are going to do? I know they start off with the loss with the Dolphins. My Jets, I mean, it's going to be another rough one, I think. But where do you think they're going to lay? Where do you think the Patriots are going to lay this year?
You know, obviously it was a tough week one, but, you know, with Belichick and, you know, Kraft in the front office, it's very much, for me, it's like, let's wait and see. You know, I don't have high expectations, but – you know, I think they could surprise us, you know, in a way, which I would very much welcome. But it's always kind of like, you know, I do trust in Bill and, you know, Mac Jones. Talk about, you know, a tough position. Nobody is ever going to be able to follow Tom Brady in professional football at all, no. let alone for the Patriots. So, you know, I'm not looking for him to fill Tom Brady's cleats out there. I'm just looking for him. I'm looking for that moment where he shows that he has it. You know what I mean? Where he takes over a game and he wins the game. And, you know, it's kind of, you know, we're going to wait and see. We haven't seen that much yet. So I have mild expectations for the season.
I think cautiously optimistic is always a good route to go.
Yes.
Yep. All right. This is the last question. You're a big Misawa guy, and so is another Eddie, and Eddie Kingston. Has there ever been kind of an aspirate? Have you ever mixed it up with him? And if so, or if you ever do, would you want to have a type of match that incorporates a lot of Misawa's style and everything?
Me and Eddie, we wrestled for House of Hardcore in Philadelphia, actually. I don't know how many years ago at this point, but we did. And, you know, I think because we both have that love of Japanese pro wrestling and love of Misawa, that our styles can be somewhat similar at times. So if we were to face off, I would imagine that it would be, you know, along those lines of some, you know, Misawa spots, Kobashi spots and stuff like that, because, you know, out of respect and because that's just, you know, who I've grown into and who he's grown into, just because of the styles that we like and who we want to portray when we're out in that ring.
God, and you're talking about seeing all the Yankees fans and Giants fans down in Nashville. He's one right there, too.
Oh, I know. Don't believe me.
Added incentive.
Exactly. Yeah, my head hit a little harder that way.
Right, just a little bit. Just a little bit. Well, cool, Eddie. I want to thank you so much for taking the time to do this. I'm very much looking forward to Bound for Glory. It is like the big, it's essentially Impact's WrestleMania, and it has such a legacy through for that promotion. So you heading that with Josh Alexander, it's going to be a really good match, and I'm very excited to see how you guys go about it and what the outcome will be. So thanks for taking the time, brother.
Thank you, man. I appreciate you talking to me.
All right. Thanks, guys. We'll see you next time here on Ad Free Shows.